Let's have a word of prayer as we begin and as we look at the Word of God and consider some things about what we normally celebrate this Christmas very soon. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the Word of God that proclaims the gift of us, to us, Lord, of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose coming just has provided a solution to sin. And Lord, may we continue to proclaim the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that you give us to do so. And now be a blessing to each one this evening and to those that are watching and to those that cannot be here. Lord, that Jesus Christ will be truly the reason for the season. In his name we pray. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, if you would, open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to be dealing with something that, you know, has been certainly retold in many, many ways, in plays, in movies, in church Christmas programs. Little kids portraying shepherds and sometimes sheep. And sometimes wise men. And we're going to deal and concentrate mostly tonight on some aspects of the shepherds. And the portion of scripture that we're going to read right now is found in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. So this evening we're looking at, you know, the shepherds. And I know many, many sermons have dealt with this idea of shepherds and, you know, why God chose shepherds. And we get some clues later on when we read in Matthew's gospel of perhaps maybe why the shepherds, the religious leaders of Israel, the religious leaders, obviously, who would have known the scriptures, especially when the wise men showed up. They didn't show a particular keen interest in really going and visiting the baby Jesus and King Herod. His interests were primarily one of wanted to kill Jesus because he would be a threat. And of course, that would probably take place maybe some months or maybe as long as a year or so later, maybe longer from when the shepherds first heard about the proclamation of Christ's birth. But certainly the mentality of the religious leaders was not keen to how the shepherds had their experience. The Sadducees, for example, I don't know what their reaction would have been if the angels would have appeared to them, because they didn't believe in angels. And you think about that for a moment, and they didn't believe in spirits. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And yet they were the religious leaders. They knew the scriptures. You know, I don't know how they wouldn't have believed in angels, even in the Old Testament, in Genesis, there are accounts of angels. The Bible tells us those things. And so perhaps maybe that's why shepherds were chosen by God to have the initial announcing of his birth on planet Earth here. Maybe just some speculation on that on my part as to why shepherds were chosen. Shepherds, of course, were lowly people. They may not have been able to read and write. They certainly would not have been probably able to have scriptures on hand. They wouldn't have had a Bible to read like the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They would have had the Holy Script to peruse and to see, as we know they did when the wise men came and the scribes kind of told Herod, well, he's supposed to be Jesus, this Messiah is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So they knew the scriptures, but the shepherds, they didn't have those scriptures with them. Lowly people. We know from the book of Genesis that shepherds were an abomination to the Egyptians. And they were a very, very low degree. Yet God chose them to have this angelic host announce to them the birth of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Francis Schaeffer, who was an author some years ago, he wrote a book called No Little People, and he had some comments about the shepherd and this whole experience about the Christmas story. And I got a few ideas from him on these things, but many of these are my own ideas about this. But certainly, if we ask the question, why did he choose shepherds? It's difficult to really have an answer. God, in his own wisdom, chose them. And because of that, we have the account in the Gospel of Luke. We have this account. And many songs have been written now about it. You know, angels we have heard on high, hark the herald angels sing. And it's the shepherds that have the privilege of having this message delivered to them. And maybe it was shepherds because we have to look at, well, what did they do when they heard the message? You know, when Herod heard the message, it wasn't much of a reaction by him. Oh, you go and tell him so I can come and worship him too. He didn't jump up and quickly go to Bethlehem, nor were any of the other religious leaders flocking to Bethlehem. But look at what the Bible records as far as what shepherds would do and how they reacted. And we look at this and we see. Well, first of all, I'm sure that, you know, they were a little bit sore afraid, because the Bible tells us they were. It says they were sore afraid. And then the angel says unto them, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Oh, I love that portion there. All people, not just leaders, not just important people, and not certainly just to the Jews, but the Bible says to all people, to the world, if you will. And it even meant you shepherds, who were probably of the lowest, one of the lowest classes of people in that society, in that particular time. So the angel tells them, this is a message for you. And they tell the shepherds, you know, I bring you good tidings of great joy. You know, great joy. Well, if that message would have been to somebody else, you know, I can't see the Sadducees being of great joy. Herod certainly was not of great joy. But the shepherds would be. And then the message of what it is. What is the message? For unto you is born this day in the city of David, and the great word here, a Savior. the Messiah, if you will, which is Christ the Lord, because that kind of explains, well, the Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the Anointed One, the one that scriptures had foretold, many, many scriptures. And the shepherds also are told that there's going to be a sign given to them. Well, what is the sign? In other words, this child is going to be born, but how do we know it's this child? How do we know this? And, you know, most people would ask that question, well, how would we know which child it is? And the angels don't leave any details out. They tell the shepherds, this is the sign unto you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And as it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. You know, they looked at one another. I don't know how many shepherds there were. There could have been many. There could have been maybe a few. It doesn't say, but there were more than one, obviously. And they said to one another, not just one speaking, but each other talking about this. And they said, as they looked to it, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. Now, they knew it was Bethlehem because they said, the angel said it was what? The city of David. Not Jerusalem, not the capital, you know. But the shepherds knew the city of David wasn't Jerusalem, it was Bethlehem. See, from their perspective, that was David's city. Why? Because David was born there. David was from there. And so the shepherds had enough sense to know, well, they wouldn't be go wandering off to Jerusalem or some other place. They believed the city of David was Bethlehem. And so they went and they would go to Bethlehem and they said, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. You notice the language. Let's not go see. Do you think this is true? Let's go see if it might be true. No, look at the words that they said. This thing which is come to pass. They did this with a certainty. See, shepherds were speaking here with certainty. Not with any question of, well, maybe it's not true or maybe. No, there was this certainty in their conversation with them. Let's go see this thing which has come to pass. And notice it says here, they don't say which the angels have made known unto us. It says which the Lord hath made known unto us. So when you think of the thinking of the shepherds, you know, this message was from the Lord. You know, this message was a direct message from God himself, which the Lord hath made known to us, unto us. So this is the way the shepherd looked at things. They looked at things from a perspective of belief, without doubt. And God, I think, knew their hearts. And I think that's why God picked the shepherds. Now we read further on, as it says here, that they say, let us now go and see this thing which has come to pass. And they came with haste. Notice they didn't dilly-dally around. Says they came with haste. Now compare that with Herod. Oh, you wise men, you go and find out and then you come back and report to me. Typical politician, you know, bureaucracy, I guess, if you will, or whatever the case is. And the religious leaders of Jerusalem, when they confronted the wise men and they heard about this possibility of the star and all that, they didn't go flocking, you know, no. They just, we'll see what comes of it. You know, and it's like, well, if this is true, we'll find out eventually. But no, the shepherds, boom, they're down. They're there. With haste, they come. And they're not waiting for the next day. They're not waiting for, next week or for anything else. No, they come with haste. And what do they find? Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. So the sign of this child, you know, in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, to them, that's all the conviction that they needed. They didn't need any more special sign from God. They didn't need some authorities coming in and saying, well, let's put this to a test and see whether this is really the babe or not. No, the shepherds accepted it. They accepted at face value what the angels and the Lord had made known to them. And so when we look at this and we consider this and we ask the question, well, why shepherds? Well, we begin to get a picture here of why God chose the shepherds to do this, because we can see it, you know, in their response, in the things that they did. And furthermore, when we look at what the shepherds have done, it says they came with haste. And when they had seen it, you know, it's the question, well, okay, you've seen this. You've seen this thing. Now what do you do with it? You know, if God gives us a message, and he does give us a message in his word, he gives us the gospel, you know, and he entrusts that with God's people, with Christians. He entrusts the word of God to us. And the good news, we have the good news. We have it written. We have many copies of it in our homes. And, you know, if we were just, you know, like the shepherds, it mentions here that they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They didn't keep it to themselves. You know, this definitely was good news. As the angel said, it is good news, good tidings of great joy. You know, if you, I suppose, were to, and I'm not asking you to go out and buy lottery tickets, but I'm sure that if you won the big one, it would be hard for you to keep it a secret. You know? Well, the IRS certainly wouldn't know you had it, you know, and they take their cut, I'm sure, you know. But anything that's of good news, when your grandchild is born, or your son or daughter is born, or you get married, is good news. You write out invitations. You write out proclamations. It's good news. And the shepherds did the same thing. They made known abroad, not just here or there, but it says abroad. I don't know exactly how far that made it, as far as what they did, but certainly in the area which they were familiar with, they made that saying known. You know, it might have even been, you know, when the wise men came and they saw the star and they came to the house. I don't know. I'm just speculating. Maybe some shepherds that were there directed them to the house and said, oh, this is where you're looking for the Savior. We don't know that. It doesn't tell us that in scriptures, but I wonder sometimes whether this was still something the shepherds looked at, and I'm sure they probably went back more than once to see this and to see this child and to see the parents there. And when we look at this, it says they may know abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And then those that heard it, they wondered at those things. And I'm sure that, you know, well, some of the people wondered and didn't do anything. Some of them maybe looked at. But that's not the shepherd's responsibility. They're not accountable for how people react to what the shepherds would say about this. It's the same way that, you know, if you share the gospel with somebody, you're not responsible for how people respond to that. You've shared the gospel, and that's their responsibility. So, you know, there's an accountability here that the shepherds had. They went out and made known this saying and abroad, but the accountability ends, I guess, with that, because they're not responsible for forcing people to accept it. But we do know that people wondered at it. They thought about it, and they concerned themselves to a degree with it. And those are some things that, you know, we can think about. But the shepherds, regardless of whether how they people might have responded to that, you know, some of them say, well, were you drinking that night when you saw these angels? I'm sure that probably took place. I mean, really? We didn't see the angels. Are you sure? I mean, people wondered, and they probably had to deal with all kinds of different things that they had to look at as how people responded, the same way that people respond to the gospel today. Well, I don't believe that. I mean, it's the same way. But the shepherds were bold enough to go and to do these things. And then we come to the last part here where it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told them. You know, it was really, in a sense, they were worshiping here, glorifying and praising God. They were worshiping God for all these things that they had heard and that they had seen, as it was told unto them. Well, the angels told this. And they gave the glory to God. They didn't give the glory to themselves. You know, we're special people. Oh, guess what happened to us? You know, no, the emphasis was on what? Glorifying and praising God. So when we look at the shepherds and we see, you know, and ask the question, well, why did God choose shepherds? Well, we have these various things that we see in the shepherds' response at all. They accepted what they were told of God. They acted upon it. They went to see the thing that had taken place. They told others about it. And they gave credit to who credit was due. They gave credit to God. And they rejoiced in it. They glorified and they praised God for all these things. And so, you know, why shepherds? Well, why not? Look at what they did. Compare that to the religious leaders in Jerusalem. Compare that to what Herod did. What did Herod do? The massacre of the children in Bethlehem. When you compare that with the wise men, too, the wise men came and they worshiped, they bowed, they gave gifts, you know. But, and that's another contrast, too. You have these wise men who were probably very wealthy, very wise. They knew the scriptures. They knew the reason why they were coming. There was a star that they came. And they knew right away they were coming to worship. And so you have this wealthy, well-educated group that come and they see the babe and they worship him. You have the shepherds who are lowly and they come and they glorify God and they worship the Savior. So this is why when it says here in the beginning of this passage, that this message was good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. It's for the wealthy, it's for the wise, it's for the lowly people, for the small people. And so we find that in scriptures here, we have this wonderful story. And it's not really a story, it's a wonderful account of what takes place on this day, in what month, we're not sure. It could have been in springtime. A lot of speculation on that. It probably wasn't in December. But we have this account of God giving his gift to all of mankind and expressing it to the shepherds. Now, you can get into more things, and I'll be concluding here in just a little bit, because when you ask the shepherds, you know, when you look at the shepherds and you say, well, you know, what were they looking at when they were looking at this child in this manger? What were they looking at? Well, they were looking at the Son of God. You know? They were looking they were looking at a real baby, for one thing. And by the way, it was a baby boy. No confusion about that. Okay? Well, no confusion. Today, you know, we'll make up their mind, you know, all that kind of stuff. No. The Bible never confuses that issue. It never confuses that issue. That's a man-made issue. And it's terrible. But anyway, they were looking at a real baby. This baby, as the shepherds looked at it, probably didn't appear as any other, anything out of ordinary. You know, I mean, when you look at the pictures that are done by Rembrandt and those, they always have a halo around Mary, you know. Well, there definitely was not a halo around Mary. I don't know about Jesus, but there wasn't one around Mary. We know that. And anyway, you know, we have this, but the shepherds didn't see that. I don't think there was any special glow about the child. The baby probably cried, even though one of the songs says, no crying he made. I'm sure the baby cried. Babies got hungry, babies cry. And they saw, what would be a normal, everyday baby. A real person. And as John says, God become flesh and dwelling among us. And that is what the shepherds saw. They saw God that had become flesh and dwelling among them. And when they saw this, they looked at it and they say, it's a real human being, but there's no confusion about this. The angels told us that this was the promised one, that this was Christ the Lord, and that this was good tidings of great joy for all people. And of course, maybe the shepherds did or didn't know the prophecies from Isaiah. And certainly when we look at this and we consider some of these prophecies from Isaiah, you know the prophecy from Isaiah 7:14, it says this, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, that's one other thing too about this child, as it's recorded in the Gospel of Luke earlier when the angel comes to Mary, that although this child is in all respects human like any other child, this child was different. This child was not born of an earthly father, born of a virgin, as Isaiah says. And as the angel said to Mary, the angel answered and said unto her in Luke 1:35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so when the shepherds were looking at this child, not only were they looking at a human, they were looking at the actual Son of God. And I believe they believed that. And I believe they accepted that. And I believe that's why they had such great joy. And that's why they made known abroad the saying concerning this child. And that's why they rejoiced. And as we look at this and we consider these things, why the shepherds? Well, they believed God. And they acted upon what they saw. And we find that this is how we also, when we look at this Christmas story and we consider these things, I guess we have to ask ourselves, do we believe like the shepherds? Do we act like the shepherds? Do we rejoice and worship God like the shepherds? And may God bless you.